Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have to worship you according to the dictates of our conscience. And as we talk about family today, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through this, through these lips of clay, that it might touch our hearts and we might respond by loving you and each other and ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to thank Linda and Karen and Esper for the beautiful number. Bertrand Russell once said, "A man cannot possibly be at peace with others until he has learned to be at peace with himself. A man cannot possibly be at peace with others until he has learned to be at peace with himself." I think that statement bespeaks some of the issues and problems in our world today, and specifically problems that we have in families. And so this morning we begin to take a look at families, relationships, and marriage. And I'd like to begin a series of messages that will speak to those issues. In no way will I cover all the dynamics of families and relationships. The world is too complicated. No way that I can touch all of the things that we face today. We live in a world that's a lot different than the world of 30 years ago. We live in a world where two guys or two young ladies can have a child of their own by donating sperm and eggs, paying someone to carry the child. Complicated world we live in today, and I can't begin to touch on all of the things that face families. So whether we're a nuclear family, mom and pop and children, or we're a step family or a single family or a single parent or empty nester or the reattached family, we live in a world where it's so expensive that children come back. One thing, God is well aware of our family dynamics. I believe that Jesus had something to say to us that will help our relationships no matter what the makeup. And so I invite you to turn, if you would, to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Scripture that is familiar to you, that was read, so well read. Jesus gives, I believe, the greatest pronouncement and teaching that I believe will underline this series that I'm going to speak regarding families. There's a principle in this passage that would make every family a better family. One author says about this particular passage that when life is over and we have received our report card, it will have only one category, and that is the category of relationships. And there'll be three lines under that category. One would, how did we relate to God? Number two, how did we relate to ourselves? And number three, how did we relate to others? That's embedded in this passage in Matthew chapter 22. So this afternoon, I'd like to speak about how to relate to ourselves. I think it's the critical portion of family life. How do we relate to ourselves? So I'd like to begin at the beginning. At the beginning of the Bible, the scripture that was read, and the sermon title for this afternoon, Made in the Image of God, What a Blessing. Made in the image of God, what a blessing. And so I invite you, if you would turn to the book of Genesis. What book did I say, everybody? The book of Genesis, the 26th verse of the first chapter of Genesis. And the Bible says, while you're turning there, I'm going to start reading at Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our, what everybody? In our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own, what everybody? There it is again. Make sure you won't forget it. And the Bible says again, in the image of God, he created him. And it stops right there. Okay, just check and see if you're awake. No, it doesn't. It goes on to say, and God, he created him male and female. He created them. And then in verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was okay. Just checking you out. No, God pronounces everything that he made very good. Don't you like that? Every single thing that God made, he pronounces that it was very good. What a blessing. Made in the image of God, what a blessing. Do you know that you are special? I thought I'd get one amen. I thought I'd get at least one. Do you know that you are special? I know it's hard to amen ourselves. You are special. You're not a close cousin of the animals, and you're not a distant relative of some primitive plant life. You're not the product of slime, but you are the product of greatness. Amen. We're not like the other animals. We are wonderful. We are different. We are the most excellent of all of God's work. We are the special expression of the divine nature, created by God's own personal activity. God, the Bible says, formed us and then personally breathed into our nose and mouth. How you like that? That's pretty personal, wouldn't you say? And breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Oh, what a blessing. God is good, isn't he? That's how much he loves us. We're not the result of a spontaneous reorganization of molecules. We are a direct gift from God. And God introduces man in beauty and solemnity and dignity. And Luke embellishes that in Luke 3:38 and says that we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. We were born, we were made in the image of God. What a blessing. What is the image of God? First, it's physical. Now, I know you're going to be surprised that I start off saying physical, but I found this one sentence in Patriarchs and Prophets that if you had your book, you would want to check it. And it says this, one sentence from Patriarchs and Prophets. It says, man was to bear God's image both in outward resemblance and in character. Ah, that's news to you. You thought God looked like an alien, didn't you? He looks like you and I. Even outwardly resembles. Oh, I'm sure he's a lot bigger in stature, but he resembles us. We were made erect. God made us physically so that we were capable of expressing our emotions and feelings, and you could see it on our faces. We are physically. God did a wonderful thing. We have tongues. We're able to articulate, able to speak. No other creatures can do that. And then not only physically, but the image of God has to deal with mentally. intellectually, the ability to think, far superior to anything else in this world. We can hear God. We can understand God. We can communicate to God. We can pray to God. We can choose to love God or choose not to love God. And we can do God's work because God has given us the mental capabilities of doing that. And so physically, we were created in God's image. Mentally, intellectually, superior mental abilities, thank you to God. And then morally, we have the capacity to know God. I mean, really know Him, to pray to Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. That's why we're here today. And in all of that, we are aware of good and evil. You know when you do wrong, isn't that right? God has put that capacity in us, both physical, the mental, and the moral. But I'd like to spend a few moments today as we talk about families on the social aspect. Did you know that God made you and me people who love to fellowship, to form relationships, human relationships? The Bible, in fact, goes off very beginning and said it was not good for man to be alone. You have to have relationships, the social aspect, and that's where the family begins. Even after the fall, we're still made in the image of God. What a blessing. These ideas that we're made in the image of God can lead to feeling very positive about other human beings, having good attitude about the person next to you or the person behind you, even though you may not know them. Amen? It means that you'll still feel positive about them. But you know what has happened? The devil did not like that idea. So he says, I'm going to take the same idea that you're preaching on and I'm going to distort it. And so in the 17th century, guess what theologians were discussing? The idea of the image of God. And you know what they concluded? They concluded that women were not made in the image of God. I don't know, they didn't get that from the Bible, because the text I just read you, he created male and female, created he them. And if you don't believe, go to Genesis chapter 5, in your own spare time, look at the first verse. It says the exact same thing there in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. So that's after the fall. Still says he created he them male and female. But they were discussing, theologians, that women had no souls. Isn't that funny, ladies and men? Well, what ridiculous. Who comes up with these ideas? They said that women were only second best in creation. You know what that did? That caused some people to take license to feel that they could rule over women. Where do we get those ideas from? Distort the image of God. And then there was the idea that only Christians were created in the image of God. I'm glad that we don't believe that. Amen? Only Christians are created in the image of God. Heathens, pagans, heretics, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, they're not created in the image of God. Where did they get that from? I'm glad we don't believe that in our church. We believe all people, amen, were created in the image of God. And so because of that belief, well, we can attack them, we can persecute them, we can suppress them, and we can forcibly convert them. And then the Nazis came along, and they said the only persons who were made in the image of God were Aryans. I don't know where they got that. Couldn't have got it from the Bible. They said the only people created in the image of God were Aryans. Jews and all others are not included. I'm glad that's not true, aren't you? So, because they had that idea, they could enslave them and destroy them. And then even today, I'll have to tell you, I do not agree with the gay and lesbian lifestyle. All right? I just don't. But there are people who believe that they were not created in the image of God. Now, they may not be practicing what God says we ought to do, but every single person was made in the image of God. Amen? Every single person. Do you know there's even a concept that says only Europeans were made in the image of God? I had to really laugh when I saw that one. If they don't stop the immigration in Europe, I mean, who's European in Europe? Where do we come up with stuff like that? I'm glad that no one in Fallbrook holds those kind of beliefs. Amen? Aren't you glad? Amen. What are the implications? What are you talking about? You say you were going to talk about family. What does this have to do with family? You know, when a baby is born in this world, they search for answers. They search for, what am I worth? What's life all about? What am I supposed to do or be? That's right, a baby searches for those answers. And do you know those answers come real quick? Hopefully, this is the message that they get when they're born. They get a lot of love, a lot of hugs, a lot of affection. There's a lot of laughing and joy. There's a lot of warmth. And then as they grow up and they start asking, you know, kids ask a lot of questions, don't they? And they start asking questions. They hear optimistic and joyful answers to their questions. And you know what they conclude? I'm valuable. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, according to Psalm 139:14. How many, don't answer it outward, just answer it in yourself. How many of us have a deep love of self? A genuine, joyful acceptance, a rich, healthy self-esteem. How many could say it's good to be me? How many could say I'm happy with being me? I have to tell you, that can be somewhat uncomfortable. We've been taught not to talk that way. It sounds like we're egotistical. It sounds like we're vain. We're selfish. Shared this morning, I'll share it with you. This will be the second time I've ever shared this. People ask me about my military career, and sometimes I'm a little hesitant. And they ask me, what rank did you hold? Well, honestly, I didn't do that good. I didn't do that bad. I was in the middle, all right? To be very candid. I could have done a lot better. In fact, I'm convinced that I probably did my job as well as anybody on active duty. I'm more than convinced of that. I've never had a job where I didn't do well. But what happened to the rank? Why weren't you up there? You friends with Barry Black, why weren't you an admiral? You know what happened? You know, and this, I honestly believe, and this is personal, so I'm sharing it with you. One of the things that we had to do, we had to do annual reports. We call them fitness reports, telling about, you know, your progress, how you're doing. But you know what in truth happened? Usually your commander says, write me something up. Brag on yourself. And we would write it up ourselves, pass it to him, and he'd sign it. I had the most difficult time bragging on myself. I just couldn't do it. I left a lot of things. You know why? Because I don't like braggarts. I don't like people who brag. Because you're only one mistake away from having all of that stuff go down the drain. You know that, true. You can be a job one day doing well, and you mess up one time real bad, you are gone. You know I'm telling the truth. So I don't like braggarts. And I just had a very difficult time with that system. Now, they won't tell you, no one will tell you that people write their own fitness report. They will never tell you that. But I'm telling you, that's what they do. And I had a hard time doing it. So I understand when we talk about caring about loving yourself. One psychiatrist in New York said if people had a healthy love of themselves instead of hating themselves and feeling bad, if only the love they would love the child in themselves instead of despising the weakness, he says, we could cut our caseload in half. Psychiatrists at the University of South Carolina Medical School say our biggest job is to help patients find out what is good about themselves. And it never fails. As they begin to like themselves, they start to feel better. Former National Director of Institute of Health said, we must learn to regard ourselves with understanding. We must learn to enjoy ourselves. And I don't want to be anyone else but me. Let me share something that has to do with family. You know when you have children, you have a little baby, and they wake you up in the middle of the night, you have to feed them. Take them to the bottle, however you do that. If you come in there and you're upset because the baby has gotten you up, you handle the baby rough, you seem upset, do you know the baby will pick that up? And imagine doing that over and over and over. You may not think the baby is learning anything, but they are learning something. They can tell when you're irritated, and it'll bring on doubt and anxiety and insecurity. I want to give you just a little counsel since we're talking about families. I want you to practice saying kind and appropriate words to children. Amen? I want you to practice that. I was sharing in the first service that when my children were growing, when they were little children, those who are parents and guardians know what I'm talking about. My kids are grown, of course, and you know their names, but you always give them another name, all right? A pet name. I wouldn't tell you what I call my son. He would not be happy with that. But if I'm in the house and I call him that, he'll answer, and he won't be upset. For him, it's a term of endearment. He understands what I'm calling him. Now, you could not call him that. And if I wouldn't tell you that. I tell you what I call my daughter. My daughter's grown. She has children of her own. She's out on her own. She's a physician, doing well. And when I talk to my daughter on the phone, I say, hi, sugar girl. And I've always called her that. And I'm not just doing that. I mean, I just can't help it. Because I've been doing it since he was a little baby. And I'm convinced something as simple and as small as addressing, and I don't mean this as a put down. I hope you'll understand. Addressing my daughter that she's sweet like sugar has to make her feel good. And I believe the success that she has is directly related to how she feels about herself and how we treated her. Oh, how we need to feel good about ourselves. most of us, and I fall into this category. I got the horror stories too, if I had time. We don't operate by those good words. Most of the time, we send quite different messages. We send the messages, if you are quiet, then I'll do this for you. If you eat your dinner, then I'll do this for you. If you don't make a mess, then I'll do this for you. If you just act like your brother, or if you stay clean, or if you get good grades, we let them know that there's a price for love. And you know what they do when we send messages like that? And some of that is normal. I don't want you to miss my point. There's sometimes you have to tell them about cleaning up the mess. All right, I'm not talking about that. I'm going to cover some of that other stuff in another sermon. But still, do not be negative all the time with your children. You know why? Because they'll know that you have a price on love. And you know what they'll do? They'll compensate. In order to be loved by you, they will exaggerate, and they will brag, or they'll lie, or they'll be afraid to bring the report card home. You know the pressure you put on them. Oh, I know I wasn't going to get many amens off of that one, but you know the pressure that we put. And so if you do that, they will exaggerate and they will brag, because they're trying to help their image in your eyes. And then they'll not only compensate by bragging or exaggerating, they will compensate by being... Have you ever met somebody that's critical all the time? It's usually a good clue. That person that's critical all the time is really critical of themselves. It's self-accusations. They're projecting how they feel about themselves. And then not only will they brag and exaggerate, and they will be critical. This is an area where I've encountered most of all of the counseling cases, of the many, many counseling cases I had in the military. This one I saw most of all. Called self-depreciation. Person comes into the office. Yeah, you welcome them to your office. If they have something nice on or something you can compliment them on, you compliment them. You know what will happen? They give themselves away right quick. Oh, it's nothing. Oh, I mean, they get the, oh, and you know, oh, nothing's right. It's nothing you can say to them that will convince them that everything is all right. Self-depreciation. You know what they get out of that? Sympathy. And so you'll meet people, I don't care when you talk to them, it's always down. Something's always wrong. They'll get a little sympathy. And not only that, people don't have to expect much out of them. You see that a lot in churches where people who just won't do anything, I mean nothing, they can be in the church 30 years and they have never read a scripture. Oh, I know I'm in deep waters today. It really says something about their self-esteem. Time is gone. You know, when you read Matthew chapter 22, it says, love your neighbor. But first you need to love yourself. Whatever you do for your neighbor, you would do for yourself. Have you ever met someone who will never do anything for themselves? They get a kick out of looking bad. I'm serious. You know what I'm talking about. They get a kick out of looking bad. And they make sure they look bad so you can comment on it. You look like you're having a rough day. You know, when you read Matthew 22, it's a package deal. You can't really love someone else until you love yourself. You said, but what a strange way to start talking about family. This is most important. Can you imagine being in a home where it's only negative all the time? The story is told, true story. A lady came in to see a pastor about her husband. He says, my husband never compliments me. All he does is criticize. Doesn't matter what I do, how hard I do it, all I hear is how I could have done it better. And the minister said, well, you know, people who are highly critical usually suffer from low self-esteem. You think that might be the problem? He said, yeah, I think that might be the problem. He said, this is what I'd like you to do, the minister said. I'd like you to help him with his self-esteem. So I want you to do something. I want you to start from this day to start complimenting him. He said, no, I never thought about it. All I was worried about is for him to compliment me. Said, I want you to start complimenting him. And do you know that I've read someplace that if you're having a rocky relationship with a person, give yourself 6 weeks and 10 compliments a day and watch the change. 6 weeks, 10 compliments a day, watch the change in the both of you. Lord, help us. Do you know God waited till the sixth day to forge his ultimate creation? And it was you. And you know something? I am so glad, Dan, I'm so glad that you are created in the image of God. Betty, I'm so glad that you're created. Linda, I'm so glad that you're created in the image of God. Shirley, I'm so glad that you're created in the image of God. Karen, I'm so glad that you're created in the image of God. Troy and Gina, I'm so glad that you're created in the image of God. Aren't you glad Troy is? Bryn, could you live with me if I wasn't created in the image of God? You sure couldn't. I know this is a struggle. Because we recognize beside God our unworthiness. Amen? But when we come into the presence of God and we feel our unworthiness, you know what we should do? We should praise him. We should say hallelujah when we come into his presence. We ought to worship him. But you know what happens to us? We get stuck in unworthiness. I see it all the time in churches. I see it among good Christians. They get stuck in unworthiness. And how in the world can you win anybody to Christ if all they see is, woe is me? Do you think they want to join your church? Uh-uh. have some place to go from here with this message. I hope you know that it doesn't stop here. If we just focused on us, this would be a big mess to start off. You know where it goes ultimately. We're going there in the sermons to come. But I want you to right now, as we think about families and we try and have our families be what God would have it to be, that you would care about yourself. I know that's hard. I know that's pushing you. Why? Because God cares about you. So much so that he had a plan in place to die for you from the foundation of the world. What a blessing. Made in the image of God. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Unworthy? Yes, we are. We cannot measure up to you. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the connection that you made with us, creating us in your image, and not stopping there, but actually becoming man. What a blessing. When we look at you, when we see you, we can only praise you and say hallelujah. Thank you for our families here at Fallbrook. Thank you for our families in our neighboring churches. Thank you for our families throughout this region, throughout this state, throughout this nation. Made in the image of God. Help us, Lord, that that image might not be distorted, but it would be what you would have it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.